Not the Footy Show.
Show?
Previously on Not the Footy Show.
And then Monday night we've got the Sharks and the Seagulls at Toyota Stadium. This one to me looks just like the Dragons and Sharks from last year in round two.
It reminds me a lot of it was. I was thinking the same thing. I've just got to stick with Manly though. It's one of those games where you give Cronulla a big hope, but you still got to stick with the safe option.
And just warning to everybody, I think last year the Dragons getting done by the Sharks in round two knocked about 78,000 people out of last man standing at sportingbet.com. Don't pick Manly this week as your special fried rice on that competition. It just screams that kind of situation. You can still pick Manly, but don't do it in the last man standing comp. Otherwise, I'm sure you will get burnt.
In the first 2 weeks, we weren't up to scratch. And I think we fixed that up in that first half. So it was a good first half for us. Well done, mate. Thanks, mate. Nice enough to join us. I've busted up Natty Ballon. Almost.
Yeah, we are. We fall back, but it's not a good first half for us. So we'll have to regroup and come back next week.
Bye-bye.
G'day everybody, it's Not the Footy Show, episode 96, and Matty Duncan, why don't we listen to ourselves?
I know, we put it out there for the loyal listeners on the Monday night, we said don't tip Manly, but it's all gone wrong, hasn't it? You know, we were the geniuses, but we don't chalk one up on the tips.
Well, as the music just was going on there, but we didn't put our money where our mouth was, because we declared the Sharkies, but we just couldn't do it. And in the end, they've barely held on to beat the Manly Seagulls. What was it, 17-16 or 17-14? 17-14 in the end. And how do you read the Sharkies this week compared to last week? Did you pick Newcastle or the Sharks last week, mate?
I did pick Newcastle last week.
Now, you would have watched that game thinking that the Knights were good things. I mean, let's be honest, the Sharkies probably lost it more than Newcastle won it. But
Sharks, you know, that was an ordinary game. Sharks were worse than Newcastle, you know. They were both bad, but Newcastle, Sharks were a lot worse. And, look, they come to, you know, there's a better performance this week, and they just copped a Manly team for about, well, you'd say 60 or so minutes, just weren't up to where you'd want them to be after a couple of big weeks.
Yeah, the Manly Seagulls started badly. We're just all kicking ourselves, and I'm sure there are people out there that picked the Sharkies who were just going, told you. And we sort of told you as well, but let's be honest, we had the running premiers who'd won two games pretty comprehensively by the end of the matches, and then we had a team that was promising improvement, and they come out and score three tries in 30 minutes. Fan favourite Ben Pomeroy gets the third. It's 16-0. Carney kicks a field goal in half-time. I tweeted it. I was worried because sometimes, I think the most famous one is Andrew Johns in about 2002 doing a drop goal against the Bulldogs. I think they went to go up 17-0 in exactly the same circumstances or about that. And Hazmil Masri killed him at the death with a kick from the sideline. And, mate, it had that markings with about 10 minutes to go that the Seagulls had their chances.
Yeah, the Seagulls come storming home, you know, something switched on with them, and we've seen the class football team that they are, that despite playing ordinary football, particularly in that first half, they nearly pinched a win.
Yeah, and then in the end, Sharkies break the duck, so congratulations, Cronulla. Manly, I mean, you can say Lyon should have kicked maybe, they were both tough conversions, I guess, from out wide, but if he kicks at least one, especially in that last 3 minutes, they all have to do is go for a field goal, and they tie the game up and send it to extra time. So, as much as it was a great performance from the Sharkies, they did their best to lose it, and everyone remembers last year exactly the same thing happened. They led them, I think, in about round 6 or 7 with about 10 minutes to go. I think Manly scored twice in the last 10 minutes and literally scored in the dying seconds to that man, Michael Oldfield, who now has like 1,000 tries against the Sharks in about 2 matches. So, Cronulla, congratulations. They get the victory. It takes them up to 13th on the competition ladder, so congratulations to the Sharkies. Manly dropped to 5th, and that is Monday Night Football. Mate, you had the vote for NRL Tweet Player of the Year. What'd you give it?
Yeah, well, Gallen was enormous to sport at the end, but just, the type of game you expect from Gallen, he just took it to another level again. He was my 4 points, and Bukaya was 2, and Carney 1.
Yeah, and Nigel Wilbur, who also did the game, had Paul Gallen 4, Todd Carney 2, and Bukaya 1, so seemed very similar. You really couldn't give it to anybody for Manly. Maybe Brett Stewart, that touchdown, which was pretty incredible, to get him back within, I think, at 13 points was just amazing. And he did some nice things. I think he threw a pass for at least one of the try. he tried his best to get Manly back into it. And we've got to talk about the stats. Everyone loves a good stat, but Paul Gallen, I think, with 10 minutes left, he had 29 runs, 255 metres and 30 tackles or something like that. He ended up only with one more run for the game, but, I mean, he was on a mission tonight. He moved to the front row and, yeah, I think that's where he ends up for the rest of the year.
I'd say so now after that was, yeah, but they get a lot out of him from there, or they get a lot out of him in the back row as well, but just that little bit more punch up front.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is Manly getting done. The Premiers are dust. They're gone. No chance. They're losing to Cronulla. Yeah, right. Now, the other games for the weekend, we'll go straight through them, everybody, but we've got a couple of things we want to chat about just off the bat here, and that is Dave Taylor, the world's largest halfback as a replacement for Scott Prince. What do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, that seems... That, you know, Titans, you would have thought they needed a halfback, and I've seen Dave Taylor's grubber and chase and try it, and thought, well, there's our man.
What do you... I mean, from the Titans' point of view, everybody is just going... Why are they continually spending massive money on forwards? Is it mainly a case of you take the best player when he's on the market, or do you think this is just a case of he's a Queenslander, he wanted to come home, and they've just gone, well, we're better to have him than not?
I really can't work out the Titans' buying strategy in the last couple of years, and despite buying some big names last year, I thought they bought poorly, and I think this, for them, isn't the right fit, Dave Taylor. They need a halfback desperately, and Dave Taylor, look, a good player, maybe not the most consistent player, and that's probably not what the coach need either. I don't think he's a fit of the Gold Coast, and geez, all reports, no good thing to get paid either.
Well, that's the worry. I mean, a couple of tweets today were, does he get paid up front? And it's a fair question, and once again, I think, you know, I don't want to... No one wants to death ride a new team, especially when it's been around for, 5 years, but I just... I always worry about the Gold Coast. Even when they said they were going back, and I think one of the things that they... I think was a mistake, it was that they completely ignored their history, their heritage, and I think you set yourself up to fail if you're not saying that you're going to improve on what the old existent, the Giants or Seagull... Like, they should have recognised that that was what mistakes were made, I guess. They spent a lot of money, if you recall, back in the... In the late 80s and early 90s, on players that ultimately didn't really pan out for them, and they ended up struggling. They had a good roster to start with. They made the finals, I think, in their third year, and they probably should have made the grand final last year, 2 years ago. Sorry, but mate, this just it just seems too much like that old incarnation of the Gold Coast club.
Very similar was, except you know they did have a couple of successful years early, but now they're back to you know the bad old. Giants, Seagulls, Chargers, whatever you want to call them, very similar story, and they're buying that similar type of player now. They've kind of gone away from their blueprint, which they started with, buying, you know, maybe not the best player around, but they bought a team, they put a team together. Now they're just buying good players, but not particularly with any strategy behind it.
Whoever remembers the three key signings they had, or probably four key signings they had in year one, well, Scott Prince was still in his prime and could still play football. I don't know what's happened to him. It's actually quite sad. He just has nothing. Looks like he's got nothing left. Preston Campbell was huge for them. Add that little bit of daring, that little bit of spark, that little bit of something in the back line. Nathan Friend was a massively underrated player for them early on, and I think the other one was probably a borderline between Bailey and LaFranchi. But again, you look at their roster now, and I think it's bye-bye Bailey into this season. He won't go around again. They won't have the money for him. And Mark Minicello, I mean, he chose the wrong week to come out in big league and say he was going to play Origin.
Yeah, not the best timing for poor old MM.
Okay, so there you go. That's people just thought we'd address the Dave Taylor situation, and I think I feel for South just a little bit. That is the fact that, you know, they did spend on him when he was full of potential. The potential is now finally being realised, and they're going to lose him. But if I'm in their situation, I'd do it again, because you just got to spend the money on those kind of players. When your team like... what Souths were, where they were an average side that needed to get better, and I hope they do it again.
Yeah, no, they made the right choice at the time. Was as much as a Bronco fan, we were sad to see him go. They paid, you know, well, what looked like overs at the time, but I think they've got enough bang for their buck out of him.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on to the next games from the weekend, and Friday night we look at the fact that St George Illawarra, terrible last week. The Tigers, pretty good against Manly. I didn't see this game. I was up in Brisbane for the Knights one, but in Newcastle for the Brisbane game. And I just kept following the scores, and it just was Dragons all the way, mate. Did you see the match?
Yeah, I've watched it on replay since was. Yeah, it was a strange game. I potted the Tigers all year. I was a bit disappointed I jumped on the Tigers this week, but I just thought both teams, I hadn't been overly impressed with this year, but I just thought St George were really ordinary last week, and I'm always wary of the bounce-back factor, but they just wanted it more than the Tigers, and the Tigers, into that habit they can get throughout the year where they just don't do the simple things right. They try for the big play too often and just don't go through the motions and do the things that you need to do in a game to score points. They just try and score points for the whole 80 minutes and then come back to bite them.
What did you make of the Dragons?
Dragons played a really good game. They got back to the game plan, which we've seen from the Dragons, and you know they got a bit of luck go their way, which they hadn't had for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll give them credit. I thought they could bounce back, but maybe not to the tune of 24-point winners. In the Player of the Year votes, Justin Davies, 4 points, Brett Morris, 2 to Mike Wayman, 1 to Jamie Soward. Greg Delaney, 4 points, Brett Morris, 2 to Jamie Soward. And Matt Pryor, yeah, he's in my dream team, actually played well. He got one vote for that match. Now, the next one, mate, I didn't give to you. I let you have the night off from the voting. I have it to your mate, Michael McLucas. And we watched the Broncos beat the Knights 24-10. Even though I was covering this game for the Knights website, I thought the Broncos were very good things. And as it turned out, they're just too good. Probably needed that try before halftime to Justin Hodges to really emphasise their dominance in that first half.
Yeah, didn't play, had a lot of ball in the first half. Couldn't capitalise on it on the scoreboard. Just blew a few tries, a little bit unlucky. You know, I don't think they would have been overly happy with that first half. Like you said, the Hodges try was a big help, and they needed that kind of, you know, mentally to, you know, for them to convert to the scoreboard. So, look, not their most impressive win, but they'll take the 2 points.
Yeah, I thought Hannett was very good. Hodges, as I said, that's a big play. That's why I gave him, my votes anyway. Played Hannett 4, Hodges 2, Peter Wallace 2. Mate, I'm impressed by his busyness. I said it the first couple of weeks. He's just running all over the field. He's not doing a great deal of quality, I've got to admit, but he's involving himself far more than I think I can remember.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of what they want. You know, they've got the real toilers there in Petro and Benny Hennett, and I think they just bring him on to be, you know, and you summed it up, busy, and he gets involved, which is great.
Yeah, and Michael had it. Hennett, Gillette, and Josh Maguire, the big show once again.
Gillette, very handy weapon to come off the bench.
He is, if you can get him in the right role, and I think you could see the lack of, I mean, Corey Parker is a massively important player for the Broncos, but mate, you could just see that with that little bit of freedom to be able to bring Gillette into a game and take T.O. off and have that room, I guess, on the field, you get value for Gillette.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a very unique player in what he can offer a team, so it's important that they can get him on. And as much as the loss of Parker was, those few extra minutes from Gillette that they got out of it, and that different role he did play this week was, you know, a real match turner when he came on.
And finally, on the Knights, in the press conference afterwards, Wayne Bennett, he basically said, look, he was disappointed that they'd had two good crowds and that the team had failed to deliver a win for him. And he actually was pretty honest about the future of the club. He said they've got to change a lot of things. They've got to decide if they're going to be the team that's been fringe top eight contenders the last couple of years or a team that's actually going to get better. And I don't know about you, but if I'm a Knights fan, I love hearing that.
Oh, that's it. That's exactly what you want to hear. Yeah.
Okay, the next game was I only saw the first half and it was enough. Even though the Storm hadn't exactly counted out to a lead. Gold Coast, they've got nothing. I've got a question for you, mate. They got beaten 30 points to 6 by Melbourne, or by Billy Slater and Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk, which is basically Melbourne. Mate, this year, over under 30.5 points for the Gold Coast Titans in more than two games.
Under.
So basically, I'm with you as well. I can't see the Titans scoring over 30 points more than once this year. So I'm going unders for sure. I don't know if anybody else out there listening believes we're talking out our butts on that, but they don't have points in them. Jordan Rankin is a busy kind of player. Prince is trying, but nothing's working. And I think we saw that, I mean, even without Idris, if he'd been there or not, you know, the decision by John Cartwright to put Bodine Thompson in the team when there is Phil Graham and Kevin Gordon, two players that can create a try out in the backs, sitting in Queensland Cup, it just screams, once again, coach too afraid to lose.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Wozwar. You know, they're two trawler scoring machines, but those guys going around for tweed heads, it was a ridiculous head. He just tried to minimise damage rather than playing for the win.
And Billy Slater, any comments?
Oh, freak show. Just stay fit for Origin, Billy.
Stay fit for at least the next 5 years, champ. Do not want to see you ever retire if we can help it. In the votes, it just went 4 Slater, 2 Smith, 1 Kronk from Greg Delaney and Michael McLucas.
One of the team, the Storm, with you, part of the year votes. You don't really have to watch the game, do you? If Melbourne win, you know it's going to be 4-3-2-1 Slater, Smith, Kronk. You just don't know the order.
And as Michael actually tweeted me, he goes, it's predictable, and so did actually Greg. And I said, boys, I'm happy with that. If they're the best players, there's a reason that they're the best players. Just give them the 4-2-1s. I'm happy with that. They deserve it. Now, North Queensland, they were my last man standing tip this week. Unlike you, I didn't get burnt by them. They smashed the Parramatta Eels 42-6. I've seen highlights. I've seen Tamalolo run over the top of about 7 players. I've seen Luke Burt's last game in first grade. Anything you can tell me else about the game, mate?
You've summed it up. Thurston and Bowen at their brilliant best. Tamalolo, low, 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 low.
Just, he's not too low. He's pretty big.
He's pretty big. He was, you know, you hear it, it's overused, a human wrecking ball, but he literally was. Parramatta just couldn't get bring him down. He was a machine. It was good to watch, and, you know, even your man Ash Graham getting a couple of tries, 3 tries, and they were good tries too.
Mate, hold on to the ball. You can do anything in first grade.
Right.
Tamalolo, what was his role in the game, mate? Because I saw against the Broncos, they waited till right at the end of the match to bring him on, and it was just a complete waste. Did he get on before halftime?
Yeah, they got him on a little bit earlier this time, and they just kind of let him, you know, well, he just ran off Thurston and Bowen all night, so he just timed his run, and he was a machine, but they injected him far earlier into the game.
So what do you see his role in the future? Do you think they're going to give him 40 minutes a night and 20 minutes in each half?
Look, Neil Henry, I really rate Neil Henry as a coach, and he plays each team on its merit, so I think his role will row from each week to week, depending on who they're playing.
Yep.
I don't mind that in a player. It leaves that little bit of unpredictability about him. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do managing throughout the season.
So you gave 4 to Thurston, 2 to Tamalolo, 1 to Matt Bowen. Nigel Wilbo, who was your voting partner again tonight? Exactly the same. 4 to Thurston, 2 to Tamalolo, Matty Bowen. You aren't the same person, are you?
We could be. I'm not going to reveal.
I'm pretty sure he's a New South Welshman, so he wouldn't like that comparison at all. Warriors 18, Canterbury 32. Des Hasler has got the Bulldogs playing positive rugby league, like we just want to see from almost every coach. But if you're a Canterbury player, forget the fans for a second. If you're a Canterbury player, are you doing handstands every day you turn up to training? Because the message coming from Des Hasler versus what's been coming from Kevin Moore and, lesser extent, to Jim Dimmick for the last, 3 years, it's just got to be the most glorious thing ever, turning up to training.
Oh, they'd be loving it. And I really think it's coming through in their football wars. You know, they're a happier team at the moment, and it's coming through in their football.
Yeah, they ended up, jumping to a 16-0 lead. They let the Warriors get back into it once the Warriors actually brought their decent forwards on the field. I don't know why Felipe Mateo and Ben Mantolino, who, I mean, I'm putting him in the discussion as one of the best props in the game right now. I don't know about you, but Ben Mantolino is a gun.
Oh, he's a very good player, Woz.
And so he comes on, he turns the game, they get to 18-16, or 16-14 down, around that score, 16-12 down. And then we saw later in the game, Kevin Locke get across the line, but he couldn't get the ball down because of a great play by Ben Barber, who was great in the day. Then Sam Cassiano goes down the end of the field, mate, and scores that barge over try. One of my mates, who's a really good judge, and he's a Dogs fan, he's already said, look, he's stoked with the win because he reckons the Warriors are top four certainties, given they won't lose many games at home. They're a very good football side, so if you're a Dogs fan, to get it, go to New Zealand and come away with that victory has got to be a massive boost for their club.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that was an enormous result for them. Like we said, they've just got them playing such good football. It was such a strange game that, you know, points were really scored in patches, weren't they? Like,
yeah.
Canterbury got out to the big lead, Warriors hit back, but I did think I tipped Canterbury to start the season well too, was at the start of the year.
Yeah, but I think I've got them in 7th for the year, or 6th or something like that. I've got them making the 8th, so at the moment looking good for the Bulldogs. In the voting, Craig Buchanan gave 4 to Ben Barber, 2 to Felipe Mateo, 1 to Sam Cassiano, the wristwatch, and Ben House, 4 to Josh Reynolds, who's making a fist of that 5-8 spot. I think everyone's forgotten who Chris Keating is. Felipe Mateo 2 and Ben Barber 1 vote. Then we had the scintillating Sunday afternoon football at the SFS when Maria Cialis gives Daniel Mortimer 4 votes when he plays 5 minutes on the field. It tells you everything you need to know about the rest of the game.
Poor old Raiders. Well, the Raiders did lose 2 key players throughout the game, but another one that I watched on replay and kind of wish I hadn't.
Mate, I said it last week. I said it after round one. You know, Canberra could lose maybe 2 of those games that they go into. They have a bit of the run of the play. They're in a position where they can win the match with 10 to go, and they don't win it. Well, we lost that one against the Storm, which was a great side. You can't. I mean, you're going to have one of those every so often, but I'm sorry, Canberra, if you can't beat the Roosters when they play, honestly, I thought the Roosters played worse than Canberra. Canberra just forgot, once again, how to play carefree football when it mattered in the attacking 20. Terry Campese, he does remember that part of his game is running the ball, I hope, because it looks like he's forgotten. Look, their forwards did an alright job up the middle. They had to play big minutes with the injuries. Obviously, Dugan out, Fenson Mount, as you mentioned, is a loss, but I don't care. You got to beat the Roosters in that performance.
Oh, that was their game to win, was, I agree, and they had a real chance to put the Roosters away in that game, and didn't, and the Roosters, to their credit, stuck in there and took their chances at the end and got the 2 points.
Maria saw it 4 to Daniel Mortimer, 2 to Jake Friend, 1 to Sean Berrigan, and I saw it, Jake Friend 4. He made 50-odd tackles. In a game like that, you got to give love to the forwards because they're the ones usually only holding the ball. And then to David Shillington, who was pretty big for the Raiders. I think he played 71 minutes, and once again, it's just pressing that origin claim. And Jared Rhea Hargraves, I think we've seen a transformation with him this year, mate.
Yeah, he's developed into... he's become a smarter footballer, hasn't he, Wals, this year, I think.
Yep, and he's getting a lot more responsibility, and you can see it. He's making more tackles, and he's taking those hard hit-ups rather than just one big one at the start of his... stint in the field, he's really having a crack, and that's good to see. And funnily enough, coming off contract, Penrith, mate, I was pretty confident about the Bunnies. How about you?
Yeah, I was very keen on the Bunnies, and it was a bit of a game of touch football, though, was.
40-24 was your final score. I had the nephew over, everyone would know, Eyes, the great tipster, and he actually sat through that whole Canberra game, so I feel very sorry for him. I made a deal with him. I said, if you can sit on the couch with me, mate, and watch the whole game, I'll take you to another game of football. Well, he sat there. He did a good job. Even his younger sister sat there and watched the whole thing, and unfortunately I had to expose him to that performance. But that meant that afterwards we had to go outside and kick a footy. You know how the rules are, mate. And missed the first 10 minutes, and South Sydney 12-0. And then what?
You're wrapped with the win being a South Sydney fan, but it was one of those games where some of the things they got away with, grubber kicks, flicks, passes, everything stuck on the day. It's one of those games, if you try them in the next 10 weeks, they'll, you know, the ball, you know, the dead ball line, touch line, knock-ons. It was just South's day and everything fell into place for them.
Yeah, the two players that exemplify that the most was Dave Taylor's grubber kick from dummy half and run through and score, and that Matt King flick pass. Wow.
It wasn't bad, was it? It had a lot of Benji Marshall about it, but yeah, they're one of those things that, I don't think the coach would be wanting to try it again next week.
Yeah, I've said it before on the footy show, my brother's got a theory, if there's a flick pass in the play, there's going to be a try, and I think he's pretty spot on with that. Every team, just flick pass all the time, you'd be fine. Matt Spillane, 4 points to Greg Inglis, the experiment at fullback. Nathan Merrick's got to come back in the next couple of weeks. What do you do if you're Michael Maguire?
I've wanted Inglis to play fullback for years, was. I know he couldn't play it at the Storm, but when he came to the Broncos, well, when he was coming to the Broncos, I'm a massive Josh Hopman fan, but I still wanted Greg Inglis to play fullback. I think he's the best fullback, the second best fullback in the game.
There you go, everybody. And that'd be, I think, Anthony Minicello, number one, right?
Yeah, no, Mini, probably the best by far.
Greg Inglis, 4 points from Matt Spillane, 2 to Dave Taylor, 1 to Andrew Evingham in his first grade debut. He's a player that had played a lot of Western Suburbs New South Wales Cup, so congratulations on getting your chance in the big time, champ. Matt Vickers saw it, Inglis, Taylor, Reynolds, 1 vote. Now, Cronulla and Manly, that was tonight. We went through the game, and there is your results from round number 3. Looking to the table, Canterbury out in front on 6 points with Melbourne Storm, Brisbane, North Queensland, Manly, St George Illawarra, Sydney Roosters, and I don't know how Canberra in the top 8, but they are. South Sydney, Newcastle Warriors, Penrith, Cronulla, Gold Coast, the West Tigers, and Parramatta, minus 64 on the differential. They got 32 points in 3 games, and they play the Penrith Panthers Friday night, so great decision, Channel 9. That's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, looking forward to... Is that the live game in New South Wales, Bob? That's the...
Yeah, it is, mate. Actually, I've been rostered on to go cover it for Penrith, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be great. Tell me how that goes for you, Bob.
Yeah, I'll try not to. I'll leave you without the details. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. Now, we'll just go to our tips for round number 3, the results. I've ended up with 5 from 8 after starting 4 from 4, so I was thinking big things. And I swung and missed on the Seagulls and the fried rice, but I did mention to everybody, make sure it was it wasn't your last man standing for the Seagulls. And in the end, I was probably going to say Canberra's my fried rice otherwise, so I would have missed anyway. I'm now 14 for 24 in the season. Mac Nicanerny, 4 from 8, he's 13 for 24, but he got Broncos in the fried rice, so he's 3 for 3. Mate, you got fried rice with the Cowboys.
Fried rice, I'm on fire with the rice.
You love your rice. You got 4 from 8 there for the round. You're 13 for 24 for the season. DC Chapman, who is our leader, 4 from 8, so he dropped a tip for everybody else. 15 from 24, he had the Storm. You got 2 for 3 with fried rice. Maria, tipping with colours, gets the upset tonight. She picked the Sharks. She finished with 4 from 8. She's 11 for 24, but she had the Tigers, so she's 1 from 3 there. And our expert in the UK... Fried rice, it's not transporting well. It's going off by the time it gets to England. He's 9 for 3 with the fried rice and 4 from 8 for the round, mate.
Oh dear. That's not good. What's the go in England? What's fish and chips or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they're quite that culturally advanced. I don't know if the fried rice has even got there yet. So, don't know. Let us know, GT, this week when you're on the show, champ.
Right.
He's 11 for 24. And always, as you say, mate, he always starts strong and the wheels have fallen off already. 3 from 8, 13 for 24 for the season. That's Not the Footy Show, episode 96. I can tell you what is on this week, on Wednesday night. I've got a one-on-one with Adam Cuthbertson from the Knights. I had a chat with him after the game on Friday night, so you might want to hear about a bit of a interesting revelation about the fact that he was never going to England. So everyone was under the impression that that's where he was heading after the Dragons let him go. But you'll find out what actually the story behind that was. Mate, we're going to explore which teams we can write off after 3 rounds of the Premiership. Do you think there are a couple of teams we can put in that category, mate?
Eels.
Any others?
Titans.
Save it for Wednesday.
Save
the golds. That's what we always say. And then we've got a recap. We're doing a feature at Pillar Sports. I talked to a few of the coaches today. Basically, NYC, mate, it hardly gets a run anywhere. So, hot on the heels of... we're just going to give ourselves a bit of a wrap here at Pillar Sports. We did 16 Dream Team Cash Cow features last week, mate.
Yep.
Top 16 read articles across the whole NRL network last week.
Well, there you go.
So, basically, everybody, you want Dream Team. We understand that. So, what we're trying to do is come off the success of that, and we're doing NYC features. Basically, the standout players after 3 rounds. Some of the coaches have given raps to young players that you're just going to want to read about, and I might be able to get a selection of the best for Wednesday to put on the show, but you'll be able to check that out on most of the NRL Club Network sites. We can't mention the teams that decided they don't want it. Now, on Wednesday, mate, we will be teaming up, obviously, for episode 97, the Round 4 preview. Mate, how do people, tell people about the show? Any ideas?
How do we tell? What about some sign writing from an aeroplane?
Well, you can organise it, mate. I would have thought just flood social media, but, you know.
Episode 2011 was.
very good. Matty Duncan, it's been great chatting to you as always, mate. Go enjoy whatever you've got ready for dessert. Now, I believe you might even be popping some champagne because something happened earlier today.
We won the Sheffield Shield, was, so the mighty Queensland Bulls have won the Sheffield Shield. So I might have a glass of champagne. We're getting a full trophy cabinet up here in Queensland.
Yeah, we actually had I hosted a trivia thing on Saturday night, mate. One of the questions... If I'd realised what the answers were, I wouldn't have done it. But one of the questions was, name all the clubs that currently hold, like the A-League, the netball,
yep.
The AFL,
yep.
The... I'm trying to think of the ones that aren't Queensland. And A-League and a whole bunch of other ones.
Reds, the
Western
Union, yep.
So, it was a lot of Queensland was the answers. So, if there had been a Queenslander doing the trivia on Saturday night, they would have been cleaning up. Mate, great to have you on as always, and I will speak to you on Wednesday.
You will, Oz. Always good to be on, and always good to be a Queenslander.
I can agree with the first part. All right, everybody, we'll see you guys on Wednesday.
See you guys.
Not the Footy Show.
That's it, episode 96 of Not the Footy Show. No, it's not Warwick, it's Adrian, but Warwick is alongside me for Dream Team Dribble. Love this segment each and every week. I'd say it's probably my favourite segment on the show, Warwick.
I think it's your only segment on the show, if I'm honest. No, everybody, this is how we end our review of the round, so you're hearing this after Monday Night Football's been played, but when we get together, it's late in the afternoon at work on Monday, and we go through how good or bad our Dream Team has been, and Adrian, your Dream Team, outstanding this week in light of all the carnage that's been going around.
Yep.
For one simple reason. What was that?
A shining light in the Dream Team world, Billy Slater. Went with him as captain as a bit of a unique option, and it turned out to be a masterstroke.
He was the top scorer in Dream Team for round number three so far with 87 points. The only person that came close to him was Felipe Mateo with 81.
And really, who'd have him as captain?
You've just said it. I mean, you've probably had half the players that are out long term, but mate, it's just saved. It's saved your bacon. And
that's
I think everybody who is currently crying into their Weet-Bix right now over Sean Fenson, they couldn't give a stuff that he's out for 6 weeks for Canberra, but he's out 6 weeks for their Dream Team.
And, exactly.
Potentially 3 months. I was caught. I mean, I had him on the team from round one, but mate, have him as captain. 18 points in 8 minutes of football.
Yeah.
So 36. He still outscored. He who shall not be named later on. But what do you do? Like, I mean, everyone had the dilemma last week. Do you go Parker into Fensham?
So we've gone...
Now you go Fensham into...
Well, okay, you've got Hindmarsh, who's a tried-and-true performer, but he has been battling... well, he didn't play 2 rounds ago, and he battled against the Cowboys.
Still got high 30s, but that's still down on what you want from Hindy.
Yeah, exactly. There aren't really... Your tried and true Dream Team performers aren't really coming through for us at the moment, especially not in the back row. So it could be a time to free up some cash, look for a rookie, someone like Paolo, I think Junior Paolo.
Yeah, he plays third game this round, so if he gets good minutes again, he'd be a good, very short-term cash cow. I can't see him staying at first grade for the long term.
True, yeah.
Yeah, the guys like, I mean, you can do trade. Like, I mean, I did last week, I might as well tell everybody now, I traded Parker for Burgess. I thought I'd give Blair and Pryor one more chance. Pryor came through with the goods. Adam Blair, 25. Yeah. But I saved up a lot of money. But Burgess, mate, what was going to be Baby John? 19 points.
I don't understand. The entire Rabbitohs side, they had a good win on the weekend. They scored really poorly in Dream Team. Yet when they're getting smashed, they smash it in Dream Team. So it just doesn't make any sense to me.
So what do you do? You got Parker, we're in Defensum, who goes into... Who's your man? If you have to turn to someone right now.
Jeez, I'm considering going for the cash cow option purely to free up some cash because I've righting the wrongs of my earlier selections, that sort of thing. But look, if you don't have Burgess, I can't even recommend bringing him in. I think round three maybe was
60 and 80, and now he's saying don't have him. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, no. Let's be serious here. Round three was probably a bit of an anomaly. I think you'll see him go back to his scoring ways, so if you don't have him, get on him. Other options there...
It's Hindy or it's Hindy, really. Like, if you're Dallas Johnson or David Stagg, maybe.
No,
Downgrade is the key. Downgrade, get some cash in the bank. You might turn around and having Parker back in 3 weeks. You're just going to have to wear that. If Fensham's is a ruptured biceps, he won't play again this season, so... keep that in mind with him. I'm getting rid of him again this week. But the problem is I also had Josh Dugan, who was out for the 4 to 6 weeks. I'm going to have to free that money up. And if Nathan Merritt doesn't come back for me very, very soon, I'm in a world of hurt.
Yeah, I've got Merritt on the bench as well.
Comrade Harrell played half a match. Terry Campisi doesn't know how to run anymore. These are issues that the teams have got. I mean, I'm sitting here, mate. I haven't mentioned what my score is yet simply because it's so woeful. I've got 345 from 13 players.
Oh, yeah.
What are you on, mate?
590. That's with two to come tonight. Thanks mainly to Slater. But you're right. There are a lot of injuries to popular Dream Team players this round. So I think if you're on about a high fours to early 500s going into Monday Night
it's
Football...
It's still okay.
Yeah, don't panic. It looks rubbish. But compared to everyone else, you might be going along nicely.
And I gave Nathan Friend another chance. 24 points. I mean, let's be honest. And the other friend, I should have taken, 68 from Jake Friend. I mean, just looking at the stats from last week, Burns and Tamalolo, 73.
Yep.
Slater, 87. Thurston, 61. Orbison, 63. Friend, 68. I can't read my own writing at 61.
Pierce?
Yes, Pierce. Maloney, 66. Cassiano, 72. The wristwatch on fire. Fulton, 61. Matteo, 81. Barber, 66. Reynolds, 66. And Cameron Smith, 63. Liam Fulton's an interesting one. If Gareth Ellis is out for any length of time,
yep,
Liam Fulton becomes a viable dream team option as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. He's a proven performer in the past, but he was really burnt this year by being put back to the bench and not really getting that decent amount of game time.
Yeah.
But definitely, I don't think he's too expensive. I think he's a good option for Fenton.
Well, that's why we bring it up. We had a tweet from our friend Ian, who was on Twitter and just asked a question. Yeah, we've got some things we want to talk about on Dream Team Dribble today. And he said, how do we pick players without putting the mock on them? Because I'm assuming what he did was he guaranteed he's traded Parker for Fenton.
Yeah.
And now he's in a world of hurt. So if you've got any suggestions, people, just whack it on the internet, at NRL Tweet, and you can hashtag it either NTFS Live or hashtag Dream Team and Dribble, and we'll discuss it next week. A couple other things to look at, mate. Cash Cow articles, they went out on the NRL Network last Wednesday. The numbers are through, people. Evidently, you enjoy the Dream Team features. Just give people an idea of, I don't know, what ranks they happen to be this week.
Well, from memory, it was top 16 of the entire club network. So, well done.
Thanks for reading our stuff. Oh, sorry, I was giving the listeners a...
Oh, yeah, actually yes.
A wrap. So obviously you guys want Dream Team features. We've got some really cool features coming up this Wednesday. Adrian, what's happening?
That would be the NYC. Yes, sorry, momentary lapse there. We're going to be taking a look at the young guns from all 16 clubs. Oh, actually, not all 16, but that's another story for another time. For most of the clubs anyway, we'll be talking to your captain, maybe your coach, see what they have to say about the season so far and where they think they're headed for the rest of 2012. Should be interesting reading, especially there's not a lot of NYC stuff out there.
Yeah, so we're trying to basically pump up NYC. I mean, you guys are obviously keen to eat up the Dream Team stuff. Really encourage you. Some of the chats we've had already, I've had.
All the coaches. No one loves me.
All the coaches have been hanging up on for Adrian. They've been really positive. These guys, they want you to get involved in their NYC campaigns. They want you to be there for the early match, and they want to give you a reason. So some of the coaches I've spoken to have just been really positive. And there's some serious mail about certain players being future NRL stars. So you're going to want to read those articles. They'll be on most of the club sites on Wednesday. Now, buddy, your score, I just said, you're looking at about, what's your projected score for this week?
Well, I've got Carney and Williams to come, so I'm expecting between the two of them maybe 70 to 100, depending on who fires and how they perform. So if I get 650 or above that, I'll be pretty happy, even though that sounds really ordinary. I think that'd be a pretty good score for the week.
Yeah, I'm looking, mate, I've got four players. I've got Carney and Williams like you. I've also got Jamie Lyon and Ben Ross. Mate, if I get 40 from each player,
that'd be good.
I crack 500, and I'm happy with that, given the effort from the early on. As I said, two players don't make it past the first 15 minutes. Another one makes it to halftime, and then the other ones, Baby John and Adam Blair, just suck. So that's Dream Team Dribble for round number three. We'll be back next week. Nathan's brother Jake might be with us.
Yeah, and maybe Matt if he's in the office.
Matt, if he's in the office, I'm sure he's keen to get amongst some Dream Team Dribble. So, as you said, people, most weeks this will be at the end of the podcast, and we'll see you Wednesday. We do have a question from Stephen Benham, who wants us to discuss, and probably on Wednesday's show, our thoughts on the Gold Coast Titans' unlimited salary cap.
Oh, jeez, don't get me started.
Any guesses for who Stephen goes for, Adrian?
He might be a mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs fan, like
sure
myself.
Is.
And Stephen, you are a champion. I am confused as well. I don't know where they're getting the cash from.
But you know why they're signing, don't you?
Was it?
But it's cheap, nasty, and downright boring.
Alrighty, people. With those fantastic jokes aside, we'll be back next week. Adrian will be here.
Absolutely, I will. I love Dream Team Dribble. And I'm thinking of taking over, not the footy show, actually, just quietly. Should be good.
Insert evil laugh here. Maniacal laugh, maniacal laugh, maniacal laugh. Anyone seen the Muppets? Would get that reference. See you next. We'll see you on Wednesday on Not the Footy Show.
See you guys.
Just go away now. I've had a gut full of you the whole game.
Oh, I see.
I've been here for 5 minutes.
What did you say?
Not the footy show.